Welcome to In the Post here on 97.5, the Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, where we have a super abbreviated In the Post, and it's perfect because we had overtime in scrimmage basketball, so this is what you get when it comes to it. You get overtime in hockey with the Flyers, overtime with the Sixers, two different results, but at the end of the day, everyone came out healthy. That has been the theme overall for us. I'm Devon Givens with you until about another 10 minutes. Dylan McKinnon in here as well. Tyler Zuli, great job. And we'll see Tyler tomorrow when we are back together at 6 o'clock here on the Fanatic, talking about, I'm sure, some baseball things, training camp with the Eagles, and a little bit of Sixers talk as well based off of what we saw here tonight. 28 points for Tobias Harris as he led the team in scoring on 10 of 20 shooting. Got off to a slow start, did the 76ers, where they shot in the first quarter 18.5% on 5 of 25 shooting, 3 of 9 from deep. Only 3 turnovers, but they could not hit a shot. Baseball is stupid, says Tyler Zuli. So, yes, they are. And we'll see Tyler tomorrow, again, starting at 6 o'clock, as we get ready to do a 4-hour program with you tomorrow evening. But again, thanks to Tyler for engineering things back here at the studio. Marty Dickerson at the center. Brian Seltz and Tom McGinnis. Game call for Tom Seltz with the pre- and post-game coverage. And we're back at it. The team is back together as we will hopefully take you deep into October for NBA Finals run. Let's hope. Let's cross some fingers and hope that happens. But since we only have about 10 minutes, let's just dive into the box score, what we saw, get a couple of quotes from Tobias Harris via his post-game gathering with the media via Zoom. But again, Tobias Harris, 28 points to lead the 76ers. They were terrible in the first quarter, shooting 5 of 27 from the floor, 18.5%. They trailed 24-13 after one. Kristaps Porzingis had 13 points alone, 4 of 6 from the field. They desperately needed Joel Embiid tonight to defend him as he got it going. Had trouble, did Al Horford with Kristaps Porzingis. Norvell Pell, who has given them good minutes in the first two scrimmages, came in tonight and he just kept giving too much airspace for Kristaps Porzingis and got himself in too much trouble trying to defend the former All-Star and star center for the Dallas Mavericks. We move on to the second quarter. A little bit of a different story. 26 points for the Sixers. They did shoot poorly again, 33.3%, 10 of 30 from the field, only winning that quarter by two. But listen, at the half, for them to be trailing by only 9 points based off of what we saw in that first quarter, that's a win for the 76ers. And at the break, Tobias Harris put up 16, 13 in the second quarter alone as he really started to get things going. Struggling, Ben Simmons from the field, 1 of 5 in the second quarter. Struggling, Al Horford, 1 of 8 from the field. Could not get anything going. Couldn't really generate any type of scoring from anyone else other than Tobias Harris in the second quarter, keeping them afloat. What really turned things around for the Sixers was the third quarter, hanging 41 on the Mavericks. 41-26 in the third quarter, shooting 61% from the field, 14 of 23, getting to the free throw line 12 times, converting 10 of those, only one turnover. They did get 11 points from Al Horford, 12 from Tobias Harris. Ben Simmons did not see the light of day out of the locker room of halftime because there was no need. Let's just get ready for the scrimmage on Saturday against the Indiana Pacers. Through three, the Sixers wound up with a 6-point advantage, 80-74. Matisse Thybulle had 12 after three. You started to get a lot more from Furkan Korkmaz with 7 points. He was only 2 of 8, but he got to the free throw line, knocking down 1-3 as well, making both of his free throws. And Furkan Korkmaz, this is what we talk about. Even though he had these 7 points after three, this is what we talk about when we speak about Furkan Korkmaz and maybe having troubles in the rotation once the postseason gets started. We've seen this form of player, this type of player, Marco Bellinelli, if we go back to the 17-18 season when they acquired him via the buyout period. You get into the first round, everything's fine against Miami. Second round against the Boston Celtics, non-existent. Could not make a shot. Defensively, he was being attacked. And this could be the very same thing for someone like Furkan Korkmaz, who does give better defensive effort. I will give him that. But when you have a superior offensive player, more times than not, that player is going to win that matchup. And we saw some of that tonight with Furkan Korkmaz. Let's see what happens with the eight seeding games starting on Saturday against the Indiana Pacers, going through the 14th against the Houston Rockets in the playoffs, as you heard Tom say, get underway on the 17th of August. But that's going to be something that I'm going to keep an eye on with Furkan Korkmaz. Can he knock down shots and can he defend at least decent out there on the floor for the 76ers and Brett Brown? They wound up losing the game, as we said, going into overtime. The final score, 118-115. And we just wanted to see people come out healthy, see something happen with the rotation players to possibly get out there and show that they have maybe can crack the rotation if Brett Brown needed it. And one of the players that I think did that, where you had a lot of questions about what you do with the wing position, Alec Burks was always part of my conversation, where you had 11 people to choose from. And that's because this is a player who can flat out score the basketball. When you need a bucket, can you count on him? Give him the ball, clear out, let him do something, whether it's pull-up jumper, his creativity with the ball in his hands, getting to the rim and finishing in a variety of different ways. Alec Burks can score the basketball. Mike Scott showed up tonight with 13 points and 10 boards. Did not shoot it well, 3 of 11, but his aggressiveness got him to the free throw line 6 times, converting all 6, 1 of 5 from deep, 13 and 10. I still don't think we'll see a lot of Mike Scott as the seeding games go further and you get to the postseason. I think that's more going to be a situational thing with Mike Scott when it comes to the overall rotation. Yes, he does give you the veteran presence, the fact that he has been making big shots and big playoff moments for the Sixers, like last season in the postseason against the Nets, knocking down that shot in, what was it, game 4, off the loose ball that Joel Embiid saved from going out of bounds. And Mike Scott hit that big 3. The Sixers walked away with that victory, closing it out here in Philadelphia in 5 games. But I don't think, at least through 3 scrimmages, Mike Scott has not shown enough. We'll see how the 8 seeding games go. Ben Simmons, 2 of 10, struggled from the floor. This was his worst game. Only played 19-28. We expected him not to go too much further than 20 minutes. He did all of that in the first half. Struggled, 2 of 10 from the floor. Still had good looks. Couple of off-balance opportunities, missed a few layups, 0 of 2 from the free throw line, did not attempt a jump shot. That's okay. He was the best player on the floor in the first 2 games. They should have won those games. He had 4 points tonight, still played good defensively. I'll see him on Saturday against the Indiana Pacers when I need him to defend Victor Oladipo, Malcolm Brogdon, and the variety of wings that they have for Indiana, and see how he does then. Brett Brown did speak after the game and said he expects Joel Embiid to be a part of the playoff, the start of the seeding games. So that is encouraging to hear. And once again, I know you wanted to see them, the new starting 5, play together and get some minutes together. But as long as he's healthy to go once again on Saturday, then I'm good with that. As a matter of fact, Tobias Harris actually had something to say about the starting 5 and them not having too much time to work together, and what he has seen and what he's looking forward to for them getting back on the floor on Saturday, starting off the seeding games.
Coming into this new starting lineup, obviously the biggest thing is our conditioning. So I thought that we came into Orlando with a good base of conditioning and being able to get out and run. You know, obviously we're going to continue to feel one another's game out there, but I think the pace and the flow has been good. It would have been great to have Joel playing, but health is our number one goal, to get him right and to get him ready for when we open up. So now that's on the horizon, and, you know, pretty satisfied with where we're at right now. And as we'll continue to grow and get better, biggest thing for us as a team is our vibe, how we approach game to game, and how we try to build our chemistry throughout this time.
Tobias Harris post game with the media via Zoom. I agree with him. It's all about health at this point. It's not like they haven't played together at all. They've played. And when you talk about Simmons, Richardson, Embiid, and Harris, those 4 of the starting group, they have played a lot of minutes together. So all you have to do again is get Shake Milton kind of going, get that chemistry going with him, And I think he'll be fine because he has also played with the others, just not Ben Simmons. They've had time via practice to really step their foot into this whole thing and figure it out all together. Here's our final cut from Tobias Harris and what he had to say about Ben Simmons throughout the three scrimmages playing the power forward position.
I think for him, it brings him closer to the basket to be able to use his size, his strength, his ability to shoot over guys. And you know, he's still efficient and he's still impacting the game, you know, in transition. So he's able to just be closer to the basket, make plays, still pick the defense apart and play his game. So I like the position for him. I think he fits there. You know, I've always seen Ben as a playmaking guy, but I think, you know, going forward, he's going to turn into, you know, an isolation type guy at that elbow. I don't think many guys can guard him. So, you know, I think it's just the growth and development of his game.
I agree with that. Again, at the elbow, we always talk about this elbow, the free throw line extended area. Once he's faced up, matching up with someone, his speed, his quickness, his size will cause a favorable matchup for Ben Simmons a lot of times when he is out there on the floor for the 76ers, because if Embiid has it going, they're knocking down their shots, he gets the ball at the high post at right around that elbow extended area, he's going to be a problem for a lot of defenders trying to stop him one-on-one. Can you say foul trouble for the opposition? Because I can. As long as he is aggressive. Aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons. I will run that one into the ground because it is a fact when we talk about Ben Simmons. I will continue to say it because that's what they need. That's what we need to see in order for them to make the deep run that we expect them to make in these bubble playoffs that get things started. All right, that's the abbreviated In the Post. It has been a blast. We will catch you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Tyler Zuli and I right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dylan McKinnon, thank you so much for sticking around and doing everything during the Sixers game and this quick run of In the Post. This is the shortest In the Post I think we've ever had, but that's all right because we're back at it as the season is returning, and I cannot wait for Saturday's game against the Indiana Pacers. So everyone, have a good night. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and I'm sure there will be some basketball conversation overall in it. Flyers, once again, they pick up the win in overtime against Pittsburgh. Now we see them on Sunday against Boston. So have a great night. I'm Devon Givens. For Dylan McKinnon, we'll catch you tomorrow, 6 o'clock, right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.